For me, my most valuable asset is my time, and any time I can claw back within my day is a big win for me. I was always honest and upfront with clients about our use of AI because transparency is one of my number one values in business. There are things that I should not be putting energy into. There are things that need better automation. That's where AI fits. Risk minimization is just imperative in a business of our size. Our clients don't choose us because we're the cheapest. They choose us because we're the most thoughtful in the task that we do.
Welcome to another episode of Thought Leaders. I'm Samantha McLean, and today I'm chatting with someone who is starting to revolutionise how her business operates with AI. Kirsten Dunn is the licensee of Simple Property Group, which she co-founded from her dining room table in 2013, and it's grown into a $54 million sales operation. Kirsten's work has culminated in what I'm going to call the AI experiment method, an approach where strategic team selection and transparent value management have been successful in driving AI adoption in the group. At Rewa's Innovate 2025 event, Kirsten shared proven strategies that are transforming how her team is embracing technology, so I just knew that I had to get her on the podcast. In today's conversation, we'll unpack the spark behind her approach, dig into some of the practical tools that she's using, and explore her unique rules for managing experiments, which are all necessary when it comes to using new tools like AI. So, Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much for having me. I'm pretty excited to chat to you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you since Rewa Innovate. I bet you had some amazing feedback on the session that you had with Sean, and I'm still chasing her up to get her on the podcast too.
Yeah, I did. I had a lot of great feedback, a lot of new connections with people that I hadn't had conversations with, which is my favourite part of it, meeting people and hearing about their real estate journey. And definitely getting different perspectives on things is great. So a win all around for me.
Yeah, amazing. So one of the things I remember about the Rewa event, and often, you know, some of the things that I hear from agents, there's a lot of agents that sort of come from that school of thinking that they're too busy to learn, you know, whatever it is, A, B or C. But you had a light bulb moment. When did you realise that AI wasn't going anywhere and it was something that you knew you had to get on top of?
For me, my most valuable asset is my time. And any time I can claw back within my day is a big win for me. I am not here to sit at work from 7 until 7. Being busy is not something that I aspire to. And it is just something that, whilst didn't come naturally to me, I could see was going to save me time if I invested a small amount of time into it. Learning new things is scary for anyone. So I just had that it's going to give me some time back mentality, and absolutely has rewarded me in spades. So initially a little bit apprehensive, but I just knew it was inevitable. Get on board, otherwise it will move too quickly, and I'll be jumping in at the, you know, deep end opposed to when people are just starting to get involved.
Yeah, amazing. Actually, that was going to be my next question, because you probably are one of the early adopters, or one of the earliest adopters that I've met. What sort of fears did you initially feel in shifting from, you know, what might have been an established workflow in your business to using like relatively untested tools?
I think getting the confidence of my team behind me was something that I was wary of. I was always honest and upfront with clients about our use of AI because transparency is one of my number one values in business. It was the fact that I have a moderately large office. I have a great range of demographic with the people that I employ. And I very much believe that we all need to be on the same ship doing the same tasks the same way. It is not, you know, everybody just runs their sales process or property management process how they want to. We work really hard on procedures, best practice procedures, risk management, risk minimization. So everyone had to be on board. It wasn't a fact of like three of us can use it and the rest can't because they're not comfortable with it. So adaptation by the team is always at the forefront of my mind because the group as a whole is more important than the individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And so was there a single, like, you know, like I sort of like to talk about the AI first mindset and actually sort of targeting specific, you know, processes. Was there a moment or a single interaction or a challenge or something like that that, you know, made you think, oh, right, AI could do this, or, you know, if I invite AI to the party, really, it could all happen a whole lot quicker?
I'll be really honest. It was negative Google reviews how much time and personal energy they would suck out of me because I'm very, very proud of my business. And the amount of energy and time I would put into a well-written response, because I think how you respond to negative criticism is more important than how you respond to positive reviews. I put one of those into ChatGPT for a response, removing any details about any particulars. And it was better than I could have ever done myself. It took 30 seconds of my time. And the minute that I posted it as my reply, I just felt relaxed. And I was like, that is something that would have ruined my day. It would have derailed, because I would have thought about every process, would have derailed my mindset for the day. And that was when I realized there are things that I should not be putting energy into. There are things that need better automation. That's where AI fits. Not the personal element, it's the things that the negative things, the automation. So it was really that where my husband and I thought, we are going to be able to run while other people are still walking.
Yeah, I love that idea, actually. Like, you know, it's sort of a bit like my inbox, sort of, you know, how I use that gif of, you know, throwing the computer into the skip bin. But, you know, I think when people are thinking about AI, they think, oh, I could save a few seconds with a response or something like that. But it's actually the mental overload that can sort of weigh you down like all day that, you know.
That GIF that you posted was, it spoke to my soul. Inbox management is something that gives me so much, and I blame iPhones because it's always with me, so I can see how bad it is when I'm doing something that I should be enjoying. So that GIF spoke to my soul, and because of how I think emphatic you were about that we shouldn't be a slave to our inbox, I now use Fixer AI on my inbox, and each week it gives you a metric of how much time it saved you, and last week it was 17.8 hours.
Yeah, wow. That's
So it's even just down to taking all of the marketing emails and popping it somewhere else so they're not in that inbox for me to go, 179. It's like, no, there's actually 17 that I need to thoughtfully reply to. Then I've got all of the marketing ones. Then I've got all the FYI ones, which don't need my attention, but I should read them, but they're somewhere else. So inbox, yeah, I'm no longer a slave to my inbox, and that AI has actually been, for me personally, the most incredible change in my day.
Yeah, I'll have to try that one. I haven't tried Fixer, but it is chasing me around Facebook like crazy at the moment, that tool. So,
you know, it's pretty simplistic in it does A, B, and C for you. There are a few things that I want it to do that it doesn't do because I love it so much now, I'm really invested. So we'll do A, B, and C for you. But the more I use it, the more it sounds like me, which I'm obsessed with because I've got a very unique tone. And it's very intelligent in that in-house emails it responds to quite casually, and then external emails it changes the tone a little bit, and I love that. I talk about Fixer AI to everybody that I meet.
People talk about tone with ChatGPT and the other LLMs, and it's pretty easy to train one of the models on tone. But, you know, like, what I often say to people is exactly that. Like, you might have several tones, like one for a client and one for a, you know, someone you don't know and one for someone you do know. So it's amazing that, and to think that this is the worst AI will ever be too.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, what a time to be alive.
You know.
So the other thing that you've managed to successfully do, which I'm keen to learn more about, is that you've managed to bring your team with you. So by, you know, doing some, you know, some strategic experiments and things like that. So, like, if you were to think of, like, your most successful AI team member, or, like, I'm going to say AI champion because that's a term I use a lot, versus, say, someone who is incredibly resistant, what personality traits do you think separate someone who thrives in, you know, in this era of change versus someone who's probably, you know, got a wait to get on board?
I definitely think that it's someone that's not afraid to fail and make mistakes. There are people that are, just to generalize, type A personalities, and they couldn't think of anything worse than, you know, making a mistake or having something not work out for them. You need to have the type, and I identify as type B personality, the fly by the seat of their pants, throw something at a wall until it sticks. A bit more, you know, not creative, but I would say creative. I've never identified as someone who was creative, but now I feel like I've found how I'm creative in life, which is through different business implementations of AI. So someone that's, like, excited by challenges and learning, But yeah, definitely more so your type B personalities who, if what they're doing goes left when they wanted it to go right, they can have a laugh about it and not have it as a reflection on themselves. So just anyone that's excitable, curious, eager to learn, definitely doesn't have to be someone that, someone that's not busy, because if you break something into really small, short, sharp bites, then it's palatable by everybody. So just, yeah, you got to be not afraid to be a bit silly and make mistakes and willing to, yeah, learn new things.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, AI is changing so fast that, you know, one day something works one way and then the next day it doesn't quite work that way. And, you know, like, and I loved your approach to just experimentation. Like, I like that, you know, let's just play with this and see how it goes. So give me an example maybe of you've just talked about Fixer, which you love. Give me a tool which you maybe tried once or twice and then just went, no, this is not for me.
I can't think of a tool that I have thought it's not for me. There is probably AI components within some of the standard real estate software that we use that I thought, oh, this is great. I can use this to generate something. But if I look at an AI specific tool, it's always a lot better. The other thing that I think that ChatGPT doesn't yet, I was trying to use it to do 3D renders of house plans, and it was just hilarious the things that it would do just with regards to scale. So like I'd say, this is the da 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 da, and it would say, okay, what do you want it to be, modern, federational, this, that? And I go, oh, yes, we're on the right page. And I'd put in all my details and use Colourbond surf mist for the roof and all of this. And then the garage was like three times the size of the house, the double garage. And I was like, ugh, leave that one for Box Brownie and we'll come back to it once it's sort of sorted itself out. So I can't think of a tool that I've chucked in the bin, but there's definitely tasks that I've tried to use AI for and I've gone, oh, not yet. And then also just AI within some of our standard real estate tools that is not good. And I go, oh, we've got to go outside of, yeah, the system for that. Because ideally I wouldn't have all of these bolt-ons. Ideally I would have my CRM, and my CRM would be able to do the things that I have to do externally to that.
Yeah, and you'd just be able to talk to your CRM through, you know, through ChatGPT or Claude or something like that.
Yeah, and then I wouldn't have this plus this plus this plus this. Because right now I've got all of it. I've got everything. If someone tries to sell me a tech product, please don't anyone try and sell me something, I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. So there's so many bolt-ons which like excite me, but also I'd love it to be that my CRM did everything that Rita did, everything that GoList did, everything that ChatGPT did, everything that Fixer AI did, all in one space.
Yeah. So tell me about GoList, because we didn't actually hear much about GoList at the conference, but as I understand, that's a new product that's come to market. Tell me what that does.
So we get appraisal requests, property management and sales appraisal requests via Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, text message, email, realestate.com.au, Rita, our own website inquiry. I can keep on going. I could keep on going and going. Direct email. They're all sent to us in all of these different ways. And what GoList does is it amalgamates the appraisal requests in one spot. Then it uses AI to assign it to the best salesperson or property management BDM. Then it goes one step further and it allows... You'll accept your lead, then it will phone the client and it will note take the conversation and it will upload those notes into the CRM so that there is a paper trail of what's been done. It will also then track the conversions. Did you get that one? Did you lose that one? If you lost that one, what was the reason? It tracks salespeople's metrics with regards to the time it takes for them to contact a client. I mean, I had a meeting this morning with the team and they're asking things that I'm like, it'd be good if it could do blah, and they're like, yeah, let's like look at that. So it's still got lots of moving parts, but we're a pretty decent sized real estate office. For all of my leads to come into one spot so that we can really look at where our leads are coming from as a whole, you know, who's converting the most, who's contacting them the fastest, it will enable us to convert more business. And analytics is just another just area of real estate that's so underrated and interesting. So it gives me lots of data to play with. And I love that it note takes because it's just another time save.
Yeah, I love that too, because, you know, once you've got the notes, you can do so many things with them. I also love that what you just said about, you know, working out where your leads are coming from, because I think that, you know, if everyone could track their leads and then sort of double down on their best sources of leads, and then learn to convert better, that's almost half, well, that's three quarters of the battle, I think.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So that's Go List. Are there any other tools or platforms that you just can't live without right now?
I love Rita. I am a data queen. I have a database of 89,000 clients. That's across my whole office, so not me exclusively. It's regularly washed and making sure that it's accurate and up to date, and owners are still the owners of the same properties. There's no way that my team could communicate with that many people effectively on a regular basis to be their first port of call. Brand awareness is really important to me, so I want sort of when someone's talking about getting a sales appraisal, they go, oh, Semple does loads, you should call them, that's my priority. So even if that person's not selling, I want them to have been contacted by my office no less than four times per year to ensure that we're still top of mind. So for me, Rita, and the changes in Rita's AI to respond to people's tricky questions, I love it so much. Yeah, very, very seamless. I don't think I can fault it.
Yeah, amazing. Do you have a favorite AI prompt other than the Google stuff that you have used a lot or all the time? Like, what is your favorite go-to with ChatGPT?
I use it so much that I can't. I mean, the other day I dropped in a zip file of property images and I said, scan these images for any features or positive elements that a buyer might look for, and put them in a dot-pointed list. I'm very big on my sales advertisements double the length of someone else's because I want the buyer to see every single thing, and then they'll assume this house has this much, that house has that much, but it's just because I like a lot of detail. And just dropping the photos straight in and it picking up things that I maybe hadn't seen, I thought was super, super cool and time-saving. But I've got a paid account. I obviously can see my history. So yeah. I think sometimes I'm playing with a project and I'm in there and I go, oh, I actually didn't finish getting that, say, a mortgagee in possession proposal. Check this document and ensure that I am answering all of these questions thoroughly, accurately, and I haven't missed any detail to try and convert this. That one's been really good for me because mortgagee in possession public trustee submissions are quite labour intensive and I don't want to ever not get the business. So having it go through that and say, here are areas where you could improve, make sure you mention, you haven't mentioned this, this and this.
Yeah, I love doing that too, actually. It's sort of like the feedback that you can get from somebody who's friendly enough to give you the feedback and you don't mind.
Like, absolutely. And it's the information that I'm presenting to the client, whoever that may be, is my own. But I'm just making sure I hit all the points that they've asked me to hit, that my information is cohesive because, you know, I might say something that doesn't make sense to a layperson and a person that's not a real estate agent. So just making sure my terms that I'm using are as good as they could be. That's a game changer. And yeah, not exactly what you said, not going, hey, do you mind coming and checking this? Yeah. Wasting someone else's time. It's like, can you make sure I've hit all these points? So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, amazing. I can't remember whether it was you or Sean that said that, you know, that you've cracked the code for training your agents like to you know, like it was, I think it was like short, sharp training sessions and letting them see just quickly how things could go. Can you talk me a little bit through that? Mm. Was that you, wasn't it?
So I am short, sharp. I am no more than 30 minutes. I am the queen of this meeting could have been an email. Like, I do not want a meeting for the sake of a meeting. So I mean, my attention span is short myself, so I don't want to do anything for more than 30 minutes. But Sean does one-on-one, and I have now changed to that because what one of my team needs to know is completely different to what another of my team needs to know based on their level of confidence in AI. So I have, as of last Thursday, switched from team meetings with everybody for 30 minutes to one-on-one meetings for, and I can do as long as they would like to give me, no more than 30 minutes, on a topic that they want to learn about. So as long as everyone is learning and advancing, and I love when the questions are beyond me because I'm like, oh, that's interesting, let's work it out together, or let's shelve that, I'll figure it out and I'll come back to you next week, same time. So definitely has to be no more than 30 minutes because otherwise the information is overwhelming and it's an overload. Plus, we're all time poor. So if I can steal you for 30 minutes and get something across, that's awesome. And a lot of the time people will be like, oh, have you seen this? And I'm like, no, show me. So that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. You just mentioned the don't sell any more technology to you because, you know, your tech stack's already quite big. A question I get asked a lot, which I thought I might put to you as well, is how do you balance being excited about the possibilities while being practical about how much everything costs? Like, you know, because, I mean, number one question I get asked is, you know, how much do you spend on subscriptions, Sam? I mean, it's my job. So, you know, like I'm testing things all the time. But,
I am like the queen of excitement. Everything excites me. I love a good sales rep who is excited about their product. My husband does all of our bookkeeping accounts. He keeps us, you know, above water. And he has made a rule, which I don't abide by, but I think is excellent. One in, one out. What are you not using? If you want to bring this new thing in because you're super excited about it, what are you going to sacrifice? And if I can't think of something to sacrifice for it, I can't get it. But I'm going to be really transparent and say I normally get it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I try to do one in, one out.
Yeah. He tries to implement it everywhere in our household. When I bring home something, he's like, "What's going out?" I'm like, "Nothing." But I think one in, one out should be a business philosophy that people that are more responsible than me buy.
I was going to say, I'm glad it doesn't apply to things like shoes in this house. But anyway,
yes.
Like, I guess the other hot topic that people always ask me about is, you know, quality control and ethics, you know, because none of us want to end up being in the news for the wrong reasons. Like, how do you sort of make sure that, you know, that there's always a human in the loop within your office, particularly, you know, when your team are using AI?
Yeah, I think with the AI programs that we actively use, they are through an enterprise agreement. So with Voltari, they've got AI through their Rita go list. And then with ChatGPT, I've explained that we're not putting client data in there. We're not dropping a spreadsheet in there and asking it to mail merge. We are using that to do certain tasks for things that are going to be publicly available. So if you're putting something on the internet, you can check it through AI because it's going to be on the internet anyway. We have to always work within the Privacy Act, within our code of conduct. Everything that gets produced in AI has to be checked against a seller's disclosure statement or with the seller directly, ideally both. So no one wants to be in trouble with DMIRS. We're pretty rigorous in the amount of people that look at something before it goes out to make sure that there's nothing that's going to get us into trouble. Risk minimization is just imperative in a business of our size. Our clients don't choose us because we're the cheapest. They choose us because we're the most thoughtful in the tasks that we do. So it's about education, and it's about explaining that, yeah, we've got to make sure that we are ticking the requirement boxes of our own industry before we're throwing something into ChatGPT.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your client's reaction to your using AI? Have you had anyone say, "Oh, you know, great job," or, "Oh, you know, not too sure about it"? Like, what's the general reaction out there?
I haven't had any negativity about it. So Taylor is the AI SMS assistant that we send SMSs through. And when a client starts interacting with Taylor on more than a yes, no, maybe basis, it comes to your inbox for review, and that's where I like to open the program and write. And I'll always write Kirsten Dunn rather than Taylor. So someone might say, "What's the shift in the market that you've alluded to?" And then they'll take over. And I'll be really honest, Taylor's AI response is excellent, but I'll just identify myself as the person responding. And I'll often pick up the phone. If they're engaging with a bot regarding the market, that's a phone call. That's a communication that is personal connection. It's not a, "Do you want an automated report on your property?" emailed across. It's a personal, and that I think is just another massive bonus that it's, we use AI to engage with our clients. We do it with our buyers as well to ensure that we're hitting as many people as we can to get the right people, you know, talking to our staff. So in a market that's as buoyant as it is in Perth right now, the vendors love it. They love that I can log into ActivePipe and show them how many of our buyers from our gigantic buyers database are opening their email. And then we call the ones that have opened it five times, because we can't call 4,000 people. But you know what? We can call 20 people that have opened it more than once. So they, you can tell when I start talking about it, I get really excited. And it's like, this is just another point of difference from my office that our ability for high volume communication is enhanced by AI, which then allows us to target people, pick up the phone and call the buyers that, keep opening those emails or text messages or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I love that, because a lot of people, you know, will send the emails out, but they'll never look at the report. Like, you know, and really it's a great callback list, actually.
It's the best callback list, and that's the same with Rita. It's creating you a callback list because it's creating a group of people who want to engage about real estate. It's a warm call, not a cold call. And the amount of time that it has freed up for me to, I'll be really honest, I had stopped delivering my clients' gifts and was having someone else deliver my clients' gifts. I do that now because I want to go and see them in their new home or the new home that they've moved into, and I want to sit with them and have a cup of tea because those connections are important to me. I often become friends with my clients and I like to let them know, like, if anyone ever needs anything, if, you know, your daughter's in a rental and she feels that she needs advice on something, I'm your friend that you say, oh, call Kirsten and she'll chat to you about it. So those important human connections I'm back doing because the rote tasks have been taken off me.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. Like, that's the perfect example of, let me save time over here, but spend it doing sort of more high value human activities. That's amazing. Okay, so before we wrap it up today, like, and I mean, you know, I can, you know, because I think you and I could probably talk like
literally all day.
But I'm gonna try not to. But okay, so if someone was on the fence about implementing AI right now, like in real estate, what sort of advice would you give them?
I would 100% find somebody who's using it and talk to them about their implementation of it, because going in blind is a waste of your time, and people are, in my experience, are more than happy to share knowledge. So I'd find someone that's using it, ask them for their, just, you know, 30 minutes of their time, phone call, doesn't have to be, you know, a massive thing. Just like, what tool do you love and how do you use it? I mean, even just pop it up in your Instagram stories. What AI are you using and why do you love it? Choose a task that does not spark joy in your life and that you dislike, such as, you know, after home open buyer communication or email inbox management, which you and I both share a hate for, and find a tool that fixes a problem and just start with one tool. Don't get them all. Like, I started with one and then I was like, oh, I've got an appetite for this. This is a massive value add. And then once you've got one, become the absolute, like, don't just start it and then let it go. It's not set and forget. Become like super duper confident in every single working of it. Learn all of the ins and outs of it, the settings, make sure you know how to turn it off when you're on holidays, things like that. Don't just grab it. And then if you don't know it end to end, it will cause problems because you don't understand it end to end. So Rita, I think, is just, I'd like to think that I'm a real expert there. Whenever they say, hey, we've got a new ABC, do you want to hear about it? I'm like, absolutely, because it is tickety-boo. That would be my recommendation for anyone that's wanting, you have to have the data for it to be great. But Rita, I love, and I could do in my sleep, and I know everything about it. You can't set and forget with these things because they're, like you've mentioned, they're constantly evolving. But once you've got one under your belt and you know it, then go, all right, what's the next problem I'm going to solve, or what's the next time sucker that I'm going to eliminate?
Yeah, great approach. Well, Kirsten, it's been amazing talking to you, and I'm really glad that I got this opportunity to sort of get you on the podcast so that other people can have a bit of a listen to, you know, some of the successes and some of the approaches that you've had. So thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, it's amazing. We will have to talk forever next time I get back to WA too.
I know. When you come back, you have to make sure you, like, carve out an afternoon for me.
Yep. Absolutely, I will. But I always ask everyone this one last question who's on the podcast, and this is it. If there was one thing or one action that you'd like people to take as a result of listening to this episode today, what would it be?
Yeah, it's not an AI action. It is to find a friend, find another real estate agent that doesn't work within your office, that doesn't work within your team, and invite them for a coffee to knowledge share, because the human element is the most important part of our business. So it's not to get a piece of AI, it's to find someone that's doing things you know, there's people that I look at what they're doing and it just makes me smile, and I'm like, they're elevating our industry. Find one of them and ask them if they'll catch up for a coffee with you and knowledge share, because that is the greatest power in our industry, and they might have a different area of value add for your business. And it's just, yeah, that's what I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, amazing. Kirsten Dunn, thank you so much.
Thanks again.